time now for Building the Bills, brought to you by Haynes Supply. From our Buffalo roots to nationwide sales and service, we are your industrial contractor supplier.
All right, Building the Bills. Here's a spot they can build something up. I have a Steve Palazzolo of the Check the Mic podcast, formerly of PFF, just posted some numbers here that I want to say are stunning. So I've set you up. Stunning.
Okay.
What are the Bills rank in completion percentage allowed on 10-plus yard throws?
Completion percentage allowed on 10-plus yard throws?
Yes.
If it's stunning, are they going to be bad at this?
The worst.
The worst? Because that's usually the thing they are
amazing
like,
at.
The best at.
Yes. Steve Palazzolo has this. Best completion percentage. Maybe they're the fifth best. Sorry, I might have done this wrong. Okay, maybe they're fifth best. Best completion percentage allowed on 10-plus yard throws. Yes, it's the other end. It's not the worst end.
They are good.
They're fifth.
Okay.
Stand down.
That makes more sense.
Let's rebuild the Bills again. This is how the Bills are normally built. Sorry. Chiefs are best, Texans, Browns, Titans, Bills.
Okay. Oh, Titans.
The Bills could be in for a sneaky, annoying game. The Titans' defense is good.
Yeah.
And if it holds them to a low completion percentage on 10-yard throws, it's all checkdowns, it's all dink and dunk, it's all patient Josh Allen, you know.
That's right.
Just prepare yourself for an annoying game that they win 16-6.
That'd be fine, right?
Yes, that'd be fine.
I will say it's interesting that they have numbers that good because we talked about this earlier in the week. Isn't L'Jarius Sneed not really doing well for the Titans?
He's not doing well at
all. So their defense is maybe doing well despite the fact that their big acquisition is not producing. So we'll see if they attack him with whoever they would, if Cooper's even on the field, or if he's not on the field, maybe they'll do it with somebody else. Yeah, I wouldn't expect this game to be all that high scoring. The Jet game, I thought, was kind of going to be the same, though. And, I mean, that game did not turn into a shootout. It looked like it could be in the first two quarters. But then, you know, the offense has started really getting hampered.
McDermott said he felt the offense was in a good rhythm in that game. Do you agree with that?
No. They were in a... Would you say they were in a good rhythm in the first half?
Sure. Second half, they scored 3 points.
Yeah, and they struggled to move the ball. Like,
it's another game where they go a full half with 3 points. That was Houston, too.
Yeah, so if he really got pinned down on it and asked, like, when did you think they were in a good rhythm? The first couple of drives, sure. They were moving the ball. They were physical. That first drive, they bullied the Jets defense, the way they ran the ball. Their first four drives of the game went 9 plays, 70 yards, then a 3-and-out, then 10 plays, 90 yards, 10 plays, 80 yards. That's great.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Then the second half, though, I've got... Listen to the second half. 7 play, 48 yards, missed field goal. 3-and-out punt. 3-and-out punt. 64-yard field goal. 6 plays, 9 yards, end of game. That was just to get the first down and end it. You had one good drive in the second half.
It is three straight games where they have a half with 3 points.
Okay, right, because in the first half of the previous two?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ravens, 3 points at halftime. Texans, 3 points at halftime. Jets, 3 points in second half.
Yeah, this time it just got flipped around.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
How often do they have 3 3-and-outs in a single game also?
It's not normal for them.
But they got the receiver, so...
Yes.
Like, there's no other thing to do unless you want them to get another receiver, but they're not doing that this year. During the year. They're not training for DeAndre Hopkins. Right? Right?
No.
They're not training for DeAndre Hopkins.
No, probably not. 803-0550 is our number. Anyone agree... I have changed my expectations for the Bills because of one player, because of Amari Cooper. Because McDermott said it's not about one guy, and I don't think he is the piece to put you over the top. I just feel like the Bills' ceiling, for me at least, and like the way that I look at them, I can take the top off a little bit because I thought their receivers were so limited. It's like a fourth straight year of not being good enough at the position, although this year they went so far in the definitely not good enough that I felt like they had a ceiling on what they could accomplish, and I've had to move that now. Cooper, if it works out, if it works well, then they're right back in it. For me, it's like it's almost like a new season. If it works great, you know, look out.
Yeah.
It's having a Diggs that, again, he's not as good as Diggs. I don't think he's ever been as good as Diggs in Diggs' prime. But if it's a slightly lower version of that, and
right,
they could have kept, like, if they could have kept that on the team this year with Diggs and he was just happy,
yeah,
that would have been a good idea. Instead, it's going to be a different person doing that. Okay. That's good enough for me.
Is he about to be the second best receiver, though, that they've had? Like, he's not Diggs. He's not prime Diggs, who was, like, the best receiver in football for 4 years. Is he, though, definitely second?
He's got to be better than who? Who's currently definitely second? Beasley.
Playing a very
specific role.
Yeah.
Okay, who's their non-slot second best? Is it
John Brown?
Okay, or not Emmanuel Sanders, but John Brown?
I'd say John Brown.
Okay.
That first year, he was Allen's number one receiver that first year. And yeah. He got 1,000 yards. He was good. But I think Cooper's better than that, right?
Yep.
I'd like to get back to a point where, like, this did not happen at the beginning of this year because this was a theory of, hey, you put anybody with Josh Allen, they're going to have career highs, right? They're going to play their best. And that was happening. And then you really tested it with waiver wire guys, and it didn't happen. With Cooper.
Hold on. Matt Collins might have been on pace to have the best year of his career. But
that's
again,
true.
The game is not to try to find out what receivers you can lift up. It's can you be a good team?
Right, because Matt Collins' career highs are 650 yards. And are you happy with that as one of your top outside receivers? The answer to that question is no.
Yeah.
When you get John Brown getting 1,000 yards, it's like, oh, that's nice. That's good. What's Cooper? What's the absolute peak for Cooper?
For what he can do this year?
Yeah.
Can he, in the
Jets trade that they made for Davante Adams, there is a condition in that trade with the Raiders if he were to be a first or second team All-Pro, which I think is very lofty and probably not going to happen. But they put it in there. And Adams is that good. Like, it's within the range of outcomes for Adams, even if it's unlikely. Is it in the range of outcomes for Cooper?
No.
Is he, like, possible with Allen as a combo, potential to be, like, one of the five most productive receivers in the conference? The rest of the way. That's not in there?
Okay.
This quarterback?
The other five are Nico Collins, if he's healthy.
Yep. And he'll be back in
the conference. Tyreek Hill, if Tua is healthy.
Right.
Which is not happening right now.
No.
It's Jamar Chase.
Yep. That is happening.
It's what? Who else? Who are the top five?
Is it one of the Jets?
Who are the top five quarterback receiver combos? You want to say Adams and Rodgers? Okay, I'm at four. Do I want to go... Lamar with somebody? Do you want to go with Trevor Lawrence and Brian Thomas Jr.?
Would you think Lamar and Flowers? Like, I don't know. I could see Allen and Cooper being more productive than those two. There's no one for Mahomes right now that fits that bill. There's no one for Herbert that fits that bill. Like, maybe it's not that unrealistic to think like he's going to be one of the most productive receivers in the AFC the rest of the way. That's in there. Like, I'm not saying it has to happen, and even has to happen for the trade to be good. He just has to be markedly better than what they've had for it to be a win. But what's the peak? I don't know. Like, his peak as a player is 1,200 yards. He did that last year with Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
And most of it was at the back half of the year once Flacco got there, by the way. 300 yards was in one game, which needs to be said.
That counts.
It does count, though.
I would take one of those.
Yeah, so he gets in with Allen in a couple of weeks, gets comfortable. He can't play at a 1,200-yard pace. Like, I think he absolutely can do that. This is the best quarterback he's ever going to play with. He's played with Watson. He played with Dak for a couple of years. He played with Derek Carr for a couple of years. I was looking at the list of quarterbacks. His first year, he was playing with a mishmash. His first, like, 2 years, 3 years with the Raiders, a mishmash of quarterbacks that included E.J. Manuel. So it's the best quarterback he's played with. Maybe the peak is, like, almost all pro. I probably wouldn't say all pro, though. Brian Thomas and Trevor Lawrence might be good for this. He looks awesome.
He does look good. The Jaguars dropped four touchdowns in the end zone last week.
I saw that.
Gabe had two of them.
Uh-huh.
On Matt Collins, I was looking up Matt Collins, and this kind of, I don't know why this jumped out at me. Again, I'm not mad at Matt Collins for being Matt Collins. I was mad at the Bills for asking him to be more. You know how many catches Matt Collins has on the year right now? There are 6 weeks have been played. How many catches does Matt Collins have?
Does he have like 15?
No.
No?
No. He doesn't have 15.
Feels like 15.
It feels like 15.
It's, how many, is it 15? It's got to be at least 15 targets, right?
He has 7 catches.
That's it?
Yeah.
One per game, basically?
Matt Collins has 7 catches for 81 yards.
On how many targets?
That's what's stunning, and that might be where the Bills have reacted with a, oh boy. Targets, 19.
No, that's bad. That's really bad.
Right. His success percentage for Matt Collins with Josh Allen is the lowest of his career.
Yeah.
Matt Collins had a higher success rate in Philly, in Miami, in Vegas, in Atlanta, 31%.
Well, part of this is, like, let's be real, and their careers, the way they stack up, I think this is fair to say, Matt Collins is not as good as Gabe Davis.
Oh, for sure.
And you know what Matt Collins' average depth of target is on the year? I think I've got it at 18. I just had it and I closed it, but I think it was 18. Like, it's down the field.
And that's where Cooper's...
Those were the Davis throws. Those were the low percentage, big play throws. And Davis didn't catch a high rate of those either, but he caught a higher rate than this.
So, let me ask you this. As the way this receiver room shakes out, doesn't Amari Cooper...
16, by the way, for Cooper. When I eat out.
The Mac Hollins role? I know,
yes,
I know,
yes.
I know they cut MVS, but MVS had no role, really.
Well, he was running empty calorie routes. He was just out there running straight, and trying to get safeties to back up.
He had 2 catches and 9 targets. So Hollins drops back a bunch, even though MVS is... It's not like Cooper comes in and replaces MVS. Hollins gets demoted, and Cooper gets the 19 targets that Matt Collins had. I mean, to only have, by the way, also to only have 19 targets in 6 games is incredibly low. Cooper will have double that.
Yeah. Well, everybody, this is the thing you would think. Everybody gets bumped down a peg, and maybe it gets shifted more with versatility and whatnot. But here are the Bills' snaps out wide. So wide only, not including the slot. Only lined up at outside receiver this year. Snap count, Keon Coleman, 135 snaps. Matt Collins, 93. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, 62. That's your top three. What does that look like for the next 6 games? Shouldn't it look like Cooper, 135, Coleman, 93, Hollins, 62? Doesn't everybody's good bump down a peg? Coleman is now playing the same workload as Hollins was. Hollins is now playing the same workload that MVS was, and Cooper is playing the same volume Coleman was, but hopefully you're getting way more production.
Yeah.
That's the idea here, I think.
Plug and play.
And maybe you get Coleman to move around a little bit more in the slot. While I have this open, Coleman's played 7 slot snaps on the season.
That needs to go up.
That's less than Dawson Knox and Ty Johnson. That's tough.
That's got to go up.
Has to. Maybe that. But again, this move, it's why this move is just so perfect and was such a good idea. Everything falls into place better with Amari Cooper on the roster. Right there, Coleman. So many people think he would be better in the slot, or at least would be productive in the slot, maybe versatile in the slot. The Bills might agree and have just thought, well, we just can't do it because we need him to play every single snap on the outside. Like, we can't put him in the slot because we can't afford to put somebody else in his spot on the outside. Now, maybe. I don't know that they'll do this, but...
I think it makes sense.
You're more... It feels like you have more ability to move him around because he's not as necessary to be on the outside that he has been.
803-0550, our phone number on Bills and Titans. The Titans. Man, this will...
We'll name some Titans tomorrow?
Yes, tomorrow we will remember Titans.
Okay. How's it going
Denzel
for them?
Washington.
It's not really going well for them because they kind of went in this year. Just a little bit.
I mean, they paid Calvin Ridley.
They paid Calvin Ridley a monster contract.
They got a quarterback that can't get on the ball.
They paid Snead and traded for Snead.
Yeah.
So, but they're kind of in between, aren't they? They're playing both sides of it.
They do have one of the best draft picks this year.
This year?
Yeah.
Who'd they pick?
Is it Tavondre Sweat? One of the defensive linemen, Byron Murphy and Tavondre Sweat, both who got drafted as defensive tackles, like have been.
Oh, the second round pick?
Yes.
Tavondre Sweat.
Has been great for them.
Okay.
I'm thinking of Byron Murphy's the other one. Like defensive tackles, you know, we considered the Bills going defensive tackle in the first round, and Tavondre Sweat made it to the second, and the Titans took him, and apparently he's been great. Like their defense is very good.
Yeah.
Allen could be. I think Sunday is an Allen runs a lot game.
Okay.
A lot.
because you still just don't think things are going to be open.
Well,
for
if
him.
Cooper's not out there and the defense is good,
yeah,
and they get a rush, like I think Allen will run a lot. Luke in Silver Creek. Hey, Luke.
Hey guys. Good morning.
Morning.
I just want to make the point. I agree that, you know, historically Amari Cooper might be, you know, a slightly worse version of Stephon Diggs, I guess, as an overall player. But I was just looking at some stats, and Amari Cooper's average depth of target is actually like around 4 to 5 yards deeper than Stephon Diggs historically. So I think that Amari Cooper might actually be, you know, a better fit for what the Bills' current roster needs out of that position, you know, constructed as is right now this year. And then a second point is, you know, I don't think, with that being said, that Amari Cooper might have, like, you know, an all-pro season, but just the threat of him being in that spot, I think, as a counter to the man coverage and the cover one that they're seeing, could be really important to just opening up everything for everyone else. So.
Yeah. Luke, thanks for the call. You got me thinking about something I've been meaning to bring up as a small point, but I have not yet, which is, like, okay, if Cooper is a better fit in the Joe Brady offense, great, because Diggs clearly, for whatever reason, was not really a great fit in the Joe Brady offense. And that, to me, was a mark against Brady. Mm-hmm. Okay. You want to tell me it doesn't work? You have a great player, and he doesn't fit? Okay. Who does fit? And up until this trade, it was guys that aren't that good fit. No, everybody fits. Doesn't matter who I got. Everybody fits. Now he's got Cooper, and I feel like, again, like I'm not after Joe Brady's job or anything like that, but I'm just, an excuse is gone. If they had finished the year with no help at receiver,
yeah,
I couldn't really blame Brady so much as I would blame Brandon Bean. How could you leave your team like this? Now they went out and got Cooper, and I think the receiving core is adequate. For sure, passable. Your tight ends, your receivers, your backs, you have enough weapons. You have a totally passable group. I don't think it's top five in the NFL, but it's good. It's good enough. So any sort of out for Brady. Imagine Cooper doesn't fit. Imagine they can't get him the ball.
Yeah.
If that's the case, am I going to now go to, well, it was Diggs and it was Cooper? Yeah. Or am I going to go to, my offensive coordinator doesn't seem to be able to get a guy a ball.
You could even throw Samuel in.
You could throw Samuel in there. You could throw Kincaid in there.
Your three most accomplished receivers all not being productive would be a red flag.
Be something.
A huge red flag, I think.
You know, I gave you the stat last week. It was a Kincaid point about Laporta. And Laporta's down this year, big time. But one reason I know that the Lions have a great offensive coordinator is Sam Laporta has 7 touchdowns where he was open by 3 yards or more. Mm-hmm. They are scheming that guy open shots. He did get Kincaid one against the Texans, and Josh missed the throw. But the overall point is I see weapons here. I can't have Josh dropping back and not knowing where to go with the ball. I can't have it where, well, boy, they're targeting Cooper all the time, but they can't find a way to get him involved in this offense. They start throwing him screens. Like Diggs right now. Diggs fits just fine for Houston. They found him his spot, and he is having a good year. Mm-hmm. He's having the kind of year that if Shakir were having the year Diggs is having, which is kind of close, we'd say, wow, what a nice fit this is. Like, go ahead and, again, it doesn't have to be like a regret Diggs thing here, but go ahead and prorate his stats for the year. Diggs has 392 yards and 3 touchdowns in 6 games.
Mm-hmm.
That's close to a 1,000-yard season. I think it is. Well, no. It's going to be real close to a 1,000-yard season, if not more.
If it's under a 1,000-yard season, though, that's a huge drop for him, right?
Maybe he hit 1,100 last year.
That's a part of his role. He's running underneath routes for the Texans. So he's not going to have – he might have more receptions than he has, but he's not going to have the yardage.
He's on pace for 1,100 yards.
Okay. So he's right there, top-notch.
Yeah.
And would he have had 1,100 yards with Brady, knowing, again, he would be playing a different role here?
He's on pace for – Diggs is on pace for 104 catches and 1,100 yards. Like, he's not the dominant number one, but the point is, when the Bills brought in Curtis Samuel, you made a bet – again, it's a long-shot bet – that he might lead the league in receiving because, hey, he's going to have a job here.
Uh-huh.
Diggs goes somewhere, fits in for 100 catches and 1,100-yard pace. Curtis Samuel is at, like, nothing. So – you know, there's a little bit more pressure here on Brady to get something out of this group because now you have more to work with. Now I don't need to see Dawson Knox lined up wide on a third down play. Don't need to see it. Now I got Amari Cooper out there.
Yeah. Is Cooper, he's not as good as Diggs, prime Diggs. Is he as good as Diggs, though, now?
Yeah, in a different role, maybe.
Like, to me, that's another point here is you can you know, think whatever you want or, you know, whatever about the reasons Diggs is not here that don't include football. On the field, aren't they right where they were? They probably were not going to have elite, all-pro, top-of-his-game Stephon Diggs this year. There's a small step back from him being that to just a really good one, one. Cooper is really good to great. So you weren't replacing first-team all-pro Stephon Diggs. You were probably replacing a slightly diminished version of Diggs. So had there been no stuff...
Yeah, this might be where you're at.
Wouldn't you just be in the exact same spot?
Maybe. And you traded...
You played six games without it. That's it.
And you traded a third, and you also got a second. So, like, it ends up doing all right. Will Cooper get to 1,000 yards this year? You want to know what he's got to get?
He's in the 200s right now?
The Bills have 11 games left.
Okay.
He needs 750 yards.
Okay.
That's 68 yards per game.
Yes. I'll say yes.
Okay.
I think he'll average 68 yards per game. Even with the first one, if he plays, being like, what? If he got 68 yards in game one, that'd be incredible.
He needs 7 catches and 68 yards per game for a 100 catch, 1,000 yard season.
I think he'll get it. I bet yes.
And listen,
as the person that bet Curtis Samuel to lead the league in receiving,
I certainly know everybody's going to want to say he doesn't care about stats. Nobody cares about stats. We love guys that don't care about stats. He's a free agent trying to get another contract. If he gets 1,000 yards on 100 catches, he's going to get $20 million, and I think he cares. He probably cares. And the Bills are going to want to keep him happy. That doesn't mean he's going to ruin their offense. It's just a very normal thing that happens. 803-0550. That's my take on that. So, anyway, give us a call. 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Your calls in one moment. We'll put together our Thursday three-way. Each of us picks a leg of a parlay. Broncos and Saints. It's such a bad matchup. It's such a bad game. It's such a Thursday game. It's such a preseason game. Should we do a Sabres Blue Jackets parlay instead?
It's like the only one of the year, one of the only ones of the year too, that's not a division game.
Yeah, and it's a backup quarterback, and his receivers are out, and so is Patrick Surtain. I mean, if you want to do a Sabres one instead, I'll listen to it.
All right, I'm in.
It just says Thursday three-way. Sure.
All right, let's do it.
All right, Sabres. We're going to do a Sabres same game parlay instead. Sabres and Blue Jackets tonight.
All right, let's see.
Sabres are favored to win this game.
-128.
Yeah.
What would I like to do here? Okay. I know what I want.
All right.
I'm going to go Jason Zucker anytime goal plus 330.
Whoa.
He's getting minutes. He's on the number one power play unit, and that McLeod line is playing more than the Cousins line. So, and they've looked way better. So he's on that line. Plus 330 is the goal total for him, which is below Quinn, Benson, Cousins, obviously the top line guys.
Yep.
I'll go Zucker plus 330.
I'm going to go Sabres team total over 3.5. Listen, in expected goals, all the fancy stats, the Sabres are doing well at 5-on-5. They really are.
Mm-hmm.
High danger chances for. They're sixth in the league. Chances for overall, they're high. Scoring chances for, they're high. Expected goals, they're 10th.
Yep.
At 5-on-5, this team can play and skate, and they score sometimes. Over 3.5 Sabres goals tonight to go with your Zucker anytime goal.
I am going to go J.J. Paterka plus 3 shots on goal. 3 or more shots on goal for J.J. Paterka tonight.
All right, there it is. There's a three-way.
I got plus 889.
Yes.
On that.
There it is.
Nice healthy number.
Go Sabres. The threes. That, what an insult to the Broncos and the Saints. We break a two-year tradition and say, no thanks, Spencer Rattler.
I mean, it's just such a bad game. Like, Al Michaels, is he going to show up to work today?
He's going
to
be upset.
He's going to be like, who? Spencer who? Rattler and Bo Nix? No, stop. I'm out.
Someone out there.
Has Bo Nix been good this year, though?
No. He's not. He's had legendary games of like 26 attempts, and he has 35 yards.
Right, okay. Yeah, the Jet game especially.
Really bad.
Yep. Yeah.
All right, 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 if you want to join us for Amari Cooper takes. We're kind of chatting about resetting expectations, altering expectations, how you want to approach this season any differently if you do with Cooper. As part of the Bills receiving core. Because I do. I want to boost it up a little bit. My biggest issue with them, my biggest fear, there are others, but the biggest one to me, like they have tackled it adequately. Cleveland and Niagara Falls. Hey, Cleveland, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I just want to say that I think that you guys are a little wrong on Cooper as far as being, when you guys say he's a less version of or a worse version of Stephon Diggs. I actually believe that with Josh Allen throwing him the ball, he's going to do some big things. There was a stat that I seen that when he was with the Browns, he had like the fifth lowest catchable target weight.
Yeah.
In other words, Watson just couldn't throw him the ball. I don't, with Josh Allen throwing him the ball, I think within the next 4 weeks, if he can get into the Tennessee game, 100%, which I don't think he will. I don't think he'll be able to be implemented that fast. But let's say if he did, I think within the next 4 weeks, he'll be in the top 3, 4, 5 receivers in the league with Josh Allen throwing him the ball. And that's not a – I don't think that's a hot take to say that. I think he's one of the best receivers in football. He showed that in Dallas. He showed that in Vegas. And I think he's going to continue that with Josh Allen.
Thanks, Cleveland. The only reason I say like a lesser version of Diggs, like all that you laid out, I think is possible and the ceiling is possible. He leads the league in unrealized air yards, which is the number of times that he's open, the ball goes his way, and he doesn't catch it. Some of that's drops. Some of that's – so he's getting open down the field. His air yards is much different than anybody on this team. When I say a lesser version of Diggs, I want to give a little bit of context with that, and that's that in 4 years, Allen and Diggs led all quarterback receiver combos in catches, touchdowns, yards. Like, they were literally the best tandem in the sport for 4 years. So when I say lesser Diggs, I don't mean like lesser of Diggs now. I mean prime Diggs. The Bills had an elite top three receiver in the sport paired with Allen. And I'm always going to want to have someone that good with Allen. And I think Cooper is, you know, I'm not too far off where you think his ceiling is. If this pairing worked, it's going to be great. And it's always been like at the root of what I want. For anyone saying Allen's going to make the players better, I agree with that. I don't think that means you should bring in bad players to make them better. I think it means you should bring in good to great players to elevate them. Allen and Diggs did that for each other. And hopefully Cooper can do that too. So my expectations are that it will go well and it will help them a lot. But I have to keep it underneath what Diggs accomplished here. I mean, Diggs won a receiving title.
Mm-hmm.
He had 1,500 yards in one season. Was he first team all pro?
Yes.
And second team all pro?
At least once.
Like, yeah. He did everything you could do with the Bills. So that's when I say under Diggs, that's what I mean. I couldn't possibly expect someone to do that well.
Right. The bar to reach was he had the most catches in the NFL over 4 years.
Yeah.
Like, there's no doing better than that, really. Yeah,
he was first team all pro. He had a first team all pro and a second team all pro. A 1,500 yard season.
Mm hmm.
I mean, that's doing it. He led the league in catches and yards in a year. And the Bills were awesome. 2020. Bills were awesome that year. Thanks, Cleveland, for the phone call. I'm excited about Cooper. I do wonder how quickly they can get it up and going. It's worth pointing out, when Diggs got traded for, Diggs and Allen right away had a connection.
Yeah,
and
without a preseason.
Without a preseason.
Yeah.
Now, they had training camps and practice, but they did not have a preseason. And Diggs, in his first game, he shows up, and Stephon Diggs is just like on it, ready. His second game was the breakout game. His second game was Miami. He goes off for, I think, a couple touchdowns. I'll pull up his 2020 game log because, you know, Allen and Diggs, his first year here is when he wins the receiving title.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm looking back at when the Bills traded for Benjamin in the 2017 season.
How soon he played?
Yeah, he did not play the first game. So he was inactive.
I believe that was a Jet game.
He did not play. His first game he played was the game they got mauled by the Saints.
Okay.
And lost 47-10. Then he played against the Chargers.
In
the Peterman game. He had one catch in that game, and then he missed two games with injury. So his first 4 weeks here were inactive, six targets, three catches, 42 yards in a game. They lost by 40. And then the Peterman game where he had one catch and then he was out for two more games.
Yeah. Can I give you Diggs' first couple games?
Sure.
Diggs' first game, eight catches, nine targets, 86 yards. Game two, eight catches, 13 targets, 153 and a touchdown. Game three, 4 for 6, 49 and a touchdown. 6 for 7, 115. 10 for 16, 106. Like, right away, they had it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot to say about chemistry. To me, I know we look back at him and we have our issues. That's just greatness and greatness. If Justin Jefferson showed up tomorrow, he'd go for 130 yards with Josh Allen. You know, like, chemistry does matter, and it will matter for him and Cooper. But if he's good, I just expect it to work. 803-0550. Bob in Arkansas next up. What do you got? What?
I thought to look up one other example of a guy that came in midseason. Remember when Terrell Pryor was on the Bills for like a minute? He signed with the Bills on a Tuesday, played that Sunday, and had five targets. So there's another example.
Right.
Hey, anyways.
Hey, Bob.
Good morning, boys. Hey, welcome back, Sneaky Joe.
Thank you.
Glad to have you back.
Thank you.
I guess I want to reframe it. I think you sort of hit the nail on the head with changing of expectations. But for me, it's been like this impending sense of doom in the back of your head. It's like, we know we've got a problem. We came through those first three games. You know it's there, hasn't really shown fully yet, but it's just there waiting to pop up, and sure enough, it does. It's like, you know, I don't know, this thing at home, maybe you got a hot water tank that's not working great, but you fix it a little bit, and, you know, your mother-in-law comes into town, she likes 20-minute hot showers, and you know that thing's going to blow. And sure enough, you get against the Ravens, and boom, there it goes. You get against the Texans, and boom, there it goes. And, you know, on those games, those little plays make a difference. It's like if you pick up a third down, you pick up a fourth down, you got the confidence to do that, change both those games. But just no confidence we could do that without a guy that can get open, you know, on the outside. So I feel really good about that now going forward. I'm hopeful, man. I'm excited about it. And, you know, I feel like it's just that sense of doom is gone.
Yep.
I hope we can make it happen.
Thanks, Bob. I like the water heater. Like, you've got a project in your home. You know it's a problem. When are you going to get after that? When are you going to fix that? When are you going to take care of that? All right, fine. I did the thing.
Yeah.
All right, good. I feel better.
Now it just has to work.
Yes. Titans, first up.
The Titans, who have just released Jamal Adams, by the way.
They released him.
Granted his release.
It's funny.
Healthy, looking for next opportunity.
You know what's funny? This is my own fault. And I'm scrolling Twitter during the show, and I saw Adam Schefter's tweet about Jamal Adams. And the first three words are, Titans are honoring. And I thought, oh, they're honoring Jamal Adams. Okay, moving on.
they're building him a statue,
right,
or something?
I just thought they were honoring something about Jamal. Turns out they're honoring his request for a release.
Yeah, he wants out. He's bad now. Before anybody's like, oh, former all-pro safety that the Bills need safety help, right? This dude, he stinks now.
That's a safety the game passed by. He can't play anymore.
Oh, yeah. Because
the Seahawks traded for him, and it was a mess. It was never good.
Because he's the big hitter, plays low to the line of scrimmage, right? Like, makes plays in the run game. He's going to take your head off, and he's not very good in coverage, which now is kind of all I want my safety to do.
Yep. 803-0550. You've just tweeted out, Illinois is going to wear throwbacks against Michigan on Saturday.
Yeah, I just retweeted that. They're going to wear, honoring an anniversary of Red Grange, I believe.
He had a 6 touchdown game.
Yeah.
You have to see this helmet.
Yeah.
It is a...
It's unbelievable.
Have-to-see-it helmet. I think it's pretty cool. I think it works.
I think I like it.
The uniforms, maybe not. The helmets, you have to see this helmet. It is, I'll just describe it, and then you can go look for it. Go look for Illinois throwbacks. The helmet is designed like, you know how when you watch a minor league hockey game and they decide that they're going to dress up like Star Wars, like Wookiees?
Yeah, yeah.
And it looks like Chewbacca's. These helmets are leather helmets.
Right, yeah.
That's what they've got. It's a helmet that looks like it's got the straps.
You see the straps.
Yes. Job well done,
Illinois. I think they're awesome.
I'd say job well done, Illinois. Before the break, quickly, Rob in Connecticut. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Jeremy. Hey, Joe. Jeremy, you're going to love this. So last night, I had the Sabres game on last night, and when J.J. scored, I yelled out, Turkey!
J.J. the Turkey. My kids were going nuts. Tage Thompson. Tage scored the first goal, and they're still partial to Tage, so I yelled out, Tage Thompson scored, and they jumped around for about 5 minutes. They're very excited for Tage.
Yeah, and then what was frustrating, it was like 40 seconds. Come on, guys. You gotta win this game. Come on. That really ruined me. But listen, as far as Cooper, you know, before we picked him up, it was more of apprehensiveness for the whole season. That was my feeling. But now that we got him, it's more like a curiosity. Now I'm very curious to see what's going to happen. And it's more of a positive thing because, I mean, come on, it's Coop. I can't wait to hear the stadium yell his name out. Coop.
Oh, that's a good point. We get one of those. We get a guy we get to yell a name. That's cool. It's always good.
Coop. Yep. Coop's in the house. So let's go, Bills. All right, guys. Thanks.
All right. Thanks. Yeah. Coop.
Is there another one right now? I think it's going to be it. Is there somebody else that we do that with?
On the Bills?
Yeah.
Greg Rousseau.
Groot. They're chanting Groot.
Yep.
That's right.
He gets that now. He got that at the Sabres game.
Groot.
He got it.
Yeah? Yeah. Okay.
All right. Extendo Sports, we'll wrap things up. Hand off to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right. Quick question for you. Why did the old man fall down the well?
Why?
He couldn't see that well.
Okay.
Come on, that's good, right?
That's one of the better ones.
Take
so
it
far.
With you today. Take right. it with you. I've been meaning to get
in daily conversation.
I've been meaning to get more of those in. You know?
Yeah.
Who doesn't love dad a good joke dad of the day?
I mean, that's a good one.
That's a good dad joke.
I think we're going to have Stevie Johnson here tomorrow. He's got a new children's book coming out. Ask him about the Amari Cooper edition.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to line that up. What else tomorrow? Paul on the Sabres. The turnaround starts tonight.
Sure.
Better. Hold on.
I'm exhausted with them.
Keys to moral victory.
We need keys to moral victory. Here.
A power play goal.
That's it. All right.
Maybe the keys to moral victory should be to have more shots on the power play than goals against on the power play. No, keys to victory. Keys to moral victory tonight.
Not be mad at Dylan Cousins tomorrow morning.
A power play goal. And that's it. Score a power play goal.
Of any kind.
Yes. Okay. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about that amazing power play goal and how the turnaround has started. And, roll in with the football Friday. Enjoy Sabres Jackets and Broncos Saints. Extra Point Joe next.